Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
Hi, who just came on?
Just the big bad wolf.
And who might that be?
Just Monty.
Monty, you must not call yourself the big bad wolf.
Okie dokie.
How are you doing?
Good. And you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
How's Clyde doing?
And he goes tomorrow to be operated on.
Oh. And then he's going to come home, or they'll probably might hold him over, probably.
Oh, they're saying that because of how extensive, they'll have to operate. See, his gallbladder has adhered to his liver and to his intestines.
I'll be.
And their expression is that they will have to chisel it out. So
he'll be there in a few days.
Yeah. They say that it won't be a quick recovery. But we're glad to be at this point. He is so tired of having that tube in him, and it certainly has done tremendous for him. Anyway, we're glad to be at this point.
Good.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, one thing about having a few clouds, it makes your flowers last a lot longer. Now we've got lots and lots of flowers out here.
And you can work all day in the yard, in the garden.
I don't know about that. That would be nice.
I am so far behind, I can't believe it's almost August, and I have gotten a quarter of what I thought I would get done.
You must have a very big garden.
I have a lot of work to do. Well, I took down a giant cherry tree, and that's totally, totally taken care of. I mean, every little scrap and, you know, tiny bit of it, so that's
You took it down yourself?
Well, I had a fellow there, a friend came up for the biggest pieces. It was a 90-year-old tree. It was, I don't know, 60-some feet high and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but I took down all the outward branches, and then there was this skeleton. I mean, with no leaves or anything left. But it was gigantic, and I was, you know, afraid and whatever. You know, I didn't have a chainsaw. Anyway, he came up from Georgia and took it down. He uses the green drink, and he was in the Army when I introduced him to it. Anyway, and I bought an electric chainsaw, and he taught me how to use it. So,
hey, I hope you have a good fireplace or wood stove.
I do.
That'll make fantastic wood.
I know. It's and not only that, I'm such a tidy, well, I'm not a, well, I want to be a tidy person. At any rate, I spread very thick black plastic underneath where we were chainsawing. And so I have all this incredible sawdust, which is, you know, heaven for compost and my worms, which are arriving this week. I'm going to have a worm farm.
That sounds fun.
I tried that once.
What happened?
It rained on them, and they got too much water.
And they all drowned.
They did.
Great Titanic. Well, I'm going to have three separate gardens. I kind of do experiments, and I did the difference between regular compost and organic compost, and I had pictures and demonstrated the incredible difference. And now this third bed is going to have only worm castings.
Are you writing a book or something?
No, I'm just learning.
You ought to send us some pictures and we can send them out in our little newsletter.
Okay.
I'd like to know what happened with the differences.
Well, you know that, you know romaine lettuce, you know what it looks like. And you get it in the store. My romaine lettuce in the compost bed was as high as my knee.
Oh, that's
I mean, I could juice, you know, I'm juicing. I do make a green juice in addition to barley. The barley green is the best greens you can get, you know. And the way Nikon processes it is the best processing, whatever. And who wants to juice greens, you know? So, but at any rate, I love salad.
Well, we all ought to come and have a tour through your garden.
Oh, it's just a backyard. But anyway, sure, sometime.
Oh, that sounds fun. That's neat. I tell you, there's nothing better than working out in Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ruth, should we get started?
I think we should.
Okay, let's do that.
Karen.
We want to welcome all of you to Transparent Terrific Tuesday. And this is the day that we all get to report on our progress. And to give tidbits to each other to help us all stay on course of achieving good health and understanding how to take care of this body that we have. We only get one body, and if you don't take good care of it, you're going to end up with a sick one. But anyway. So I'm going to start out, and because it is a transparent day, I will be honest with you and tell you that I have allowed the stresses of my life to control more of what I'm doing instead of my being in control. But, you know, even though I have, and I'm not totally crazy, what I mean is I'm not totally off doing what I should be. But I've been off enough to know that it's not good. But I have really appreciated knowing that this group has a conversation which brings me back to the things that I really want to be true to. So this is the day for all of the rest of you to let us know what is your progress. And have you discovered some things that would help the rest of us to be able to keep pursuing this?
Leave it wide open. Who would like to report?
This is Nancy. I've discovered after having a headache for a solid day from eating gluten and fructose corn syrup by mistake, but now for 3 days, I have not had any headache. My fingers work really good. So I think that's going to be the key for me is just to really watch what I eat. So
it's the gluten that really affected you.
Right, but I've not been in a restaurant in 3 days, so there lies the key. If I can stay out of restaurants, I can control what I'm doing.
That's really good. We appreciate you sharing that. Anyone else? I ought to tell you, Nancy, that later on in this discussion, I want to talk about gluten. I'm glad that you brought that up. Is there anyone else that has some ideas, concepts that would help us all?
Well, this is Monty, and I went to the dentist last week, and I had some good report. And usually when I go to the dentist, my upper right quadrant, when she goes to clean the teeth or whatever, does some bleeding. And so she washes my mouth out about 4 or 5 times when she's cleaning my teeth. This time I noticed that when she was cleaning my teeth that she wasn't washing my mouth out. And usually when she washes my mouth out and you kind of swish it around in your mouth, you kind of get that, maybe you don't, but I do, I get that taste of blood. And I noticed she wasn't doing that until she almost got done, and then she kind of washed my mouth out and whatever for with the cleaning, and when I did, I didn't taste the blood. So here again, and she asked me, she said, I asked her, I said, did my gum seem to bleed like they usually do? And she says, no. She says, what are you doing? Of course, I told her. And she says, well, I've heard about it, but I've never known anybody to that really did it. But that's one good thing, and I know that my oral health now and my mouth is better by doing the swishing of the coconut oil every morning. And so there again, it is proof to me or validation that what it is, it's working. And I was really excited about that. And I so much believe in swishing now that even when I went to the dentist, I took a tablespoonful of coconut oil in my in a little paper cup. So immediately when I left the dentist office, I put that in my mouth and swished it around all the way getting home, which took about 20 minutes. And then I got to thinking, you know, maybe that was good that I probably did that because I figured she was in this, you know, in my gums and causing problems. But I also thought that maybe what I should have done was do the swishing before I went into the dentist's office to remove a lot of that bacteria that could have been in my mouth. So I just real excited, and I feel that's working for me.
Wow, that is great, Monty. You know,
awesome.
You know what I find difficult about the swishing is finding 15 to 20 minutes where I can do that without somebody needing me to converse with them. How do you do that?
Well, when you, I don't have anybody to converse with. So I just, you know, my first thing I get up in the morning, I put the tablespoon of coconut oil in my mouth, and I sit down and I swish, or I do the things that I normally do in the morning, or I, whatever. It just, and I found that when I first started it, it was kind of difficult, that 20 minutes, but I noticed as things, time has gone on, it's just, it just becomes a natural, and pretty soon all of a sudden I don't realize it, but the 20 minutes is over with, and so it's, I don't, you know, I don't have anybody to break in or ask me questions or do whatever, and if they did, I'd probably kind of hold my hand up and tell them, well, give me a minute.
John Wesley's mother had, she had 12, 13 children, and she had a quiet time when she prayed, and she threw her apron over her head, and everyone knew, you don't bother mother. So just get a dish towel and put it on your head, and just let everybody know, well, my dish towel's on my head, don't talk to me.
Oh, that's funny.
And that would be a fun way to say it. Nobody would be offended.
Of course. It would be wonderful. Grandkids would love it.
Yeah.
And the book says, do it while you make your bed, while you take a shower, do, you know, some of that, too, before you.
Yeah.
Before they almost know you're up.
Yeah, Monty, I think you're doing it after you had it cleaned is a great idea because she has taken away the plaque. She has opened anything that is far more open, you know, in between your teeth than even with a water pick or anything that you could get it at home. And I think it was excellent you did it afterwards.
Well, yeah, as soon as I left the office, it was sitting out in my car waiting for me.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. That is great. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to report? And don't be shy. Okay. Well, I am sorry to report that Donna is not going to be with us. I have. She had a conflicting engagement this morning. I have really appreciated the details that she brings into our report, and so today we're going to talk about some things that a lot of it is not new. In fact, probably 85% of it is not new. But in going through this information that I stumbled onto, it brought up a lot of questions in my mind. And so I said to myself, you know, I'm going to talk about this with the group and see what their input is on certain issues that made me wonder. Anyway, the heading on this is the top 7 ripoff foods. They're money wasters, and they have little or no food value. And I know that all of you are very well educated, like I said in the beginning, that you know these things, but I still wanted to go through some of them. Number one was the prepackaged meals. Prepackaged meals will always be overpriced, so you're going to lose money on them, and they will not have things in it that are of any food value to us. I mean, well, there might be a little bit, but it's so negative compared to the other things that it takes into our system. So that's not a big discussion. Another one, the second one that they talked about was your canned vegetables. They do have a long shelf life, but they have little or no food value. And so if you choose canned fruits or vegetables for your food storage, this is my suggestion. They didn't have this in the article. It says you ought to think about drying your own fruits and vegetables. I'm really big on that right now. Not only will you save money big time, but you will have a more nutritious food to rely on during your winter times or in emergency times. I really, last year when I did a lot of food drying, I made fruit leather. And I'm telling you, our grandkids, you know, during the winter when I wanted to give them something that was as close to fresh fruit as possible, when I would pull out a fruit leather, oh my goodness, it was like giving them a wonderful treat. So I really believe that, I think, now this is my opinion. I think it's a waste of time to can your vegetables or to can your fruits. And not only is it a waste of time, I think that these are things that will not be as nutritious for you and your family as what you need, where food drying preserves the nutrition in your foods. And then number three, the top seven rip-off foods. Number three was organic junk food. Now, I have never heard of organic junk food. As far as I'm concerned, if it's junk food, it's junk food. And it says here, empty calories is empty calories. So why waste your hard-earned money on junk food? And it suggested making your own cookies and your own potato chips. Well, I'm not into that either. I guess there might be some who would want to do that, but I thought that was kind of a washout. And number four, it said, don't waste your money on fancy energy drinks and lattes. And if you look at those energy drinks, those, and I'm talking to the choir now, and I know I'm not telling you guys anything new, but they're just loaded with lots of sugar and chemicals. And it's the same with the lattes. But this is the one, number five. This is the one that really made me stop and think. It said, don't buy organic oranges and bananas. Now, that really surprised me. I'd never thought about that because it says banana and orange peels provide a natural barrier to most pesticides, so why pay lots more money for something that's organic when all you have to do is just peel it? And so I wanted to ask all of you, do you have a different slant on that information? Do you think that the peel really does accomplish taking away everything that, you know, that fruit might have been exposed to? Do any of you have any ideas on that?
I do. This is
okay.
I've always reasoned that I didn't need to buy organic oranges, et cetera, except, you know, something you peel, like a peach. I would hardly buy organic those because the skin is so thin that it would probably get right through there. And depends on where it's coming from too. Oranges, if they're grown in Mexico or somewhere, they're probably not going to be getting all those pesticides as much as they, and I may be mistaken about this, as they might get a lot more pesticides and have it actually affect the fruit if it were from California or somewhere. Not, maybe somebody can enlighten me on that, but that was my reasoning.
Well, I'm glad that you came up with that, because that gives me a little more confidence in this information. Just because somebody puts it into print does not necessarily make it true. It sounded reasonable that peeling away, you know, the outside peel, that it would be a barrier against pesticides or other things that wouldn't be good. But I'm glad you felt that way, Ruth. It gives me a little more faith in this. I thought, well, you know, when you're dealing with children in our home here, organic bananas are way out of sight, you know, as far as feeding kids that can go through a whole, I don't know, how many pounds of bananas in 1 or 2 days, you know. So that's good.
I have a question. I don't know. I'm following the reasoning, but here's my question. Why do they not list organic grapefruits and lemons? That's one question. The other question is, toxins are taken up into the actual tissue, okay? I mean, go up, you know, through the roots into the cells of the thing. And so I would like to see bananas that that have been raised in pesticide. I would like to see them open the banana up and do a spectrometer reading or whatever, you know, take a look to see inside in the meat if there is any of the pesticides.
Well, is there anyone that could do a little research and bring that information back to the group? Because I would really like to know. Now, you brought up grapefruit. I've never seen an organic grapefruit.
Oh.
Or, like you said, organic lemons. I've not seen those.
I use organic lemons.
Oh, do you?
Because I juice, you know, carrots and apples and lemons and ginger.
Okay.
Well, I
would like to know if there's anyone in the group that would like to go out and research about this idea that does the peel of the fruit that's a thick peel, such as banana, oranges, grapefruit, does it really protect, or is there a way for the pesticide to even make inroads in another direction, like you're saying, through the roots or whatever? Well, anyway, that's what it said in this article, and I was kind of happy about this idea of the banana theme. But anyway, I'll wait,
Karen. Me too.
Come up with. You know, I'm all for safe food.
Karen, I have something to bring to that.
Okay.
Remember, we used Shackley Basic H. And if we could put that Basic H around the ground underneath a tree that had aphids or was sick or something, and then it would not have them anymore.
Mm.
And so that meant it went up into the tree and affected the tree. And so anything that we put on the ground is going to go into the tree. The question is wherever it's growing going to have those pesticides?
Yeah, and does it grow into the fruit? Grow, when the sap or whatever juices make the receptacle swell, you know, that's like in a tomato or an apple, you know, what those juices, do they have it in it? Do they have it?
Well, you know, there's another factor too, Ruth. Basic age is a surface. What I understand is that it is absorbed through the earth into the plants at a more efficient rate than other things that go on the ground. Is that not true?
That makes everything more absorbed up into the tree. But, you know, what Joan had to say, you know, here you have a bud on a tree, and then it turns into and a blossom, and then it turns into a fruit. And all those things are going to go into that fruit.
You would think. But maybe there's, you know, there's something about the oils. I know oils of lemon oil, citric, you know, the aromatic oils do have a chemical reaction. They're used to clean things. I don't know. Maybe.
Well,
I don't,
it's something that I hope someone in the group will be able to find the information for this, because I am all for saving money.
Money, yes.
Boy, I tell you, and when you spend to your organic, you pay big time over the normal cost of. But, and I understand why it is a more expensive item, and certainly well worth having something that's more healthful for you. But I would love to know if somebody in this group will go out and find the answer to that, because I'd like to know. Now, let me go on and tell you one the number six top rip-off foods, and this is the one that I was glad that Nancy brought this up. They're saying gluten-free goods. Gluten-free products are more pricey. So if you don't need them to preserve your health, then skip them. And I got, now, that's interesting. And I don't know what all of your feelings are out there. I know a number of you have definitely had a tie-in with your health and being gluten-free. But, you know, I just went to an allergy specialist about 10 days ago because I was told that I was allergic to wheat. And I was also told that I was allergic to the mold that was created in the Yakima Valley when fruit fell on the ground and then it would rot, that it created a certain mold in the Yakima Valley that was very prevalent. And I was told years ago by an allergy specialist that I was allergic to those things. Well, this allergy specialist that I went to, he tells me that I'm not allergic to wheat. And, you know, he did all the little tests on me, and he says, I'm not allergic to the mold. And I'm going, oh, I don't know what's going on here, because these are things I'd always thought about. Do any of you know whether it is okay to eat gluten products if you are not allergic? Or is there something in gluten that is really bad for all of us and we just don't react as severe as others may react? Anybody have answers for that?
Karen, this is Ruth. Not that I know of. However, I tested negative for being allergic to gluten, and was taught that it very frequently didn't show up in these tests, that you couldn't really successfully test whether you're gluten-free or not. I'm not sure if they have other, maybe somebody knows if they have other more extensive tests. However, the guy that I was working with seemed to know an awful lot about it and had written books and all kinds of things about it, whipped one right out and showed me, okay, look on your, like, this is psoriasis. That was psoriasis. He specialized in both that and the gluten factor. As far as I know, gluten-free breads won't hurt anybody, but again, they're more expensive than the others, and so why buy them? So how do you find out if you're gluten-free? Well, you have to do it probably by testing yourself, by staying completely away from it, remembering the sauces and the soups and things that they're the least bit creamy. A lot of times they'll thicken them with flour. And so there are times when you have to watch that. So you stay away from it for a month and then try it, just like Nancy. She was having some, and then when you go back on it, well, then you notice that there's a difference.
Well, I don't know. This guy, he really thought he was the expert, and I'm not saying he wasn't, but the question in my mind was, would gluten hurt me if I don't seem to be allergic to it? And I don't seem to be, but this is what goes through my mind. Ruth, you know the background of Cynthia with her being so sensitive. We have a daughter who is so sensitive to anything that comes close to being a chemical that if I have used anything in my home that might have some kind of a chemical in it, she can't come into it. When the church cleans their carpets and refinishes the wooden floors for the gym, she cannot go into the church for days and days and days until that church has been aired out. So what she's pointed out to me is, she says, Mom, you can go in and you don't seem to be reacting, but that doesn't mean that it is not having a negative impact on your body. So that's my question. Even though I don't seem to react to gluten, can gluten have a negative impact on my body and slowly, you know, affect me? Does anybody have an answer to that?
Karen, when you consider the physique that we have now has been bred by the land-grant colleges, it's been inbred and, you know, genetically changed for about 60 years that I know of, and especially there at Washington State University, and the wheat that we have now, the protein content is totally different than it was 100 years ago, and that, if you change the balance of what God gave us, I think it causes major problems for everybody.
You know, I think you're right on, Steve, when it comes to genetically altered and your wheat. I don't think you can buy wheat nowadays that is not genetically altered. And we know that's true with corn. And so, yeah, very good.
And
Karen, yes.
Also, Karen, allergies are chronic disorders that develop over time. Generally, and if you have altered your eating habits and your nutrition habits, allergies can be altered over time. I really think there is a metabolic balance in the body, and if you're eating a lot of toxins, you know, I mean, it's like, what load of toxin do you want your enzymes to be inhibited by, okay? If you for months do not inhibit your enzymes by changing what you're eating, you know, reducing the toxicity or taking detoxing, you know, you're likely to have a general improvement, a higher tolerance for more, you know, micrograms of this mold. You know, your body can handle and fight off the mold. So it could be that at one period in your time, in your life, you were in fact overloaded and had this mold allergy. But now your body may be able to handle the toxins that are produced by that particular mold. Molds produce toxins, you know, when they grow.
Well, you know, maybe the fact that I haven't lived in the Yakima Valley for 16 years, I wonder, you know, what you're saying. Maybe it's because I've been away from it so long that now I'm not as sensitive to it.
Well,
isn't that what you're saying?
A little bit, but not that just absence. The fact is your body has been able, maybe you've been treating your nutrition better, okay? And your body has been able to get rid of the stored toxins. So, you know, it's like when your closet's full, there's no room for it, and it's going to come out, you know, run around in your bloodstream and come out in, you know, pimples or rashes or inflammations, or, you know, and you have a certain amount of inflammation going on in your body all the time. You know, the question is, has it overpowered, you know, your kidneys or your, you know, your skin or whatever, your joints.
Very good point. Thank you.
Karen, but another thing that goes right along with what Joan is saying is that when they do this testing, and a lot of times they're not testing directly to the allergen, but testing something that's fighting the antibodies or something that specifically fight it. And so it if the allergies or the antibodies haven't been out there having to fight it for 16 years, well, then they're not going to be there, and so then you test negative.
There you are.
Yeah. Thank you for all that good input. That's helped me. I hope it's helped the rest of you. Now, I want to go on with, I've got one more food, which to me is not a big deal. It says, save your money in buying high-end cut of meat. Now, I'm not an expert on this because I almost never buy beef, but that's it was saying, you know, that you know, buy your higher, less high-end cuts of meat. But anyway, I'm not, like I said, I'm not an expert on this, but it was trying to show, you know, some of the best ways to save your money in your grocery bills. Well, one thing I think is that you need to find grocery stores that consistently have lower prices, and I'll bet you there isn't a person on this call who hasn't done that. So, once again, I'm not telling you anything new. And then again, one big thing I think is do not forget to frequent your local fruit stands. You know, there are times that Clyde and I have been able to get fruits and vegetables free from a neighbor or somebody who has a garden or somebody who has a fruit tree. Cynthia, our daughter, has a neighbor that just this last week let her come, and her and her family, and they picked all the cherries off of this cherry tree they had. So guess what? We've all been drying cherries and eating cherries like crazy, and I think, you know, this is the time of year when I think your body needs you to store up lots of the good fruits and vegetables, because we go through that winter time when you don't have the access to it. Now, if you have your own garden, and if you watch your local fruit stands, you can get the best and the most fresh produce possible. And like I've said, I'll sound like a broken record, really get into drying when your fruits and vegetables are plentiful, because this is the time of year that you can really store up a lot of good things for your winter time. Now, there's one other thing that I found out, and this, to me, was big information. It said, and I know that none of us, well, I shouldn't say none of us, but probably most of you do not buy milk. I think that's something we've all learned on here, but I never understood the terrible effects that milk has on our system. And this is information that I think that parents of young children or grandparents of young children should know, and we should share this information with anyone who will listen. I'm not sure that my husband will listen to it. I'm not sure that the rest of my kids will listen to it. But this is huge information, and this is what I've learned. We are told that milk builds strong bones and teeth. And in this article it said, in reality, milk is a brutal bone thief. And the question would be, why? Why in the world would that be? Well, we've already learned on this call that everything we put into our body gets processed, and it alters our acid and alkaline balance. Everything that we do will do that. On this call, we've talked over and over about the pH balance and how it affects our body. Well, did you know that milk has an acid effect? And your body will automatically pull calcium out of your bones to neutralize the acid attack. Now, once again, I'm going to say I'd heard that milk was not good. I never knew why. And so anyway, it says, why does it pull calcium out of the bones? Calcium is a potent neutralizer. I didn't know that. And it says that's why the main ingredient in some antacids is calcium, because calcium will calm the acid that you introduce into the body. And in this article it said, think of milk entering the body like a raging forest fire, and your body's natural processes is a team of brave firefighters. So your body jumps into action and uses calcium to put out the acid attack. Even though milk contains 300 milligrams of calcium in one cup, unfortunately, the net result is a calcium deficiency in your bones. Now, had any of you understood that about milk? That just blew my mind. I never knew that. And so then another question that came into my mind is, if acid going into our body from, like, milk, if it pulls the calcium out of our bones, would other foods that are high in acid, would they have the same effect? Maybe none of you have the answer to that, but that's another thing that I was very interested in and wanted to know more information about. Had any of you understood that milk actually took calcium out of your bones? Did any of you know that?
No, I didn't.
A good book to read if you're interested in that and want to spend some time is a book that we studied here in the old program. And I think we studied it, and that was called The China Study. It has to do about people that consume milk all over the world and how that those countries or nationalities that drink the most amount of milk have the largest amount of osteoporosis and bad bone diseases.
Oh, my goodness. And I have that book, and I never picked up on that. That is
wonderful. We heard it as cheese. It, you know, brings it up as cheese would be the same difference.
Cheese does the same thing. Yeah, it brought out that milk products will actually drain the calcium out of your bones. Now, that, to me, is critical information that I must educate my children who have lots of young children in their homes. They need to understand this so that our grandchildren won't have a higher risk of osteoporosis. Anyway, don't keep your mouth shut on that issue. Go and tell every mother with little children.
Well, the thing that really got me with milk was when I understood why so many of the cows got antibiotics. And that was because the amount of pus in the milk was so great.
The amount of what?
P-U-S.
P-U-S.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you guys have microscopes, okay, but I really like to, I like to look. I like to understand, you know, and I'm telling you, it just did me in. And I drank a lot of milk because I drank a lot of coffee and I drank, you know, practically 50-50.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't drink milk at all now. Now, cheese, I'm really having trouble with cheese. I mean, well, cheese is a mold for Pete's sakes, Joan, will you? But I do like cheese.
I know, I'm right with you and I pass it up. Sometimes I think, I just want that so bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, when you're drinking milk, just think of drinking pus. There's a reason that those cows get antibiotics.
Oh, that's terrible. That's what I'll tell them. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
just point,
you know, you take a card out of the refrigerator and say, look, do you see that this has antibiotics, you know? Guess why?
Well, you know what? When I was reading this article, all I could think of is how blessed we are that we have Dr. Naidu with Osteodense and the calcium that he produces. It truly protects our bones. And then consequently, it will protect our digestive system, our heart, our entire electrical system in our body is all affected in a very positive manner because of Osteodense and calcium. I'm telling you guys, and I know you've all heard my story, but I just want to tell you that I could not be more grateful for one product than the Osteodense and then, of course, taking the Nikin calcium. These are incredible things to protect us with. And this is information that we need to share with. I know a lot of people you'll share, they won't necessarily listen, but that's okay. Share it anyway. Don't be pushy. Don't be obnoxious about it. But just let people know that there's information that maybe they need to consider. Anyway, and then in this article it said, what should you drink? Well, guess what? It was rice and almond milk and, of course, coconut milk. So we have certainly some good alternatives to eliminating milk. I think of the three, I think almond milk in my daughter's home, that's probably their favorite. And I'm sure everybody has their own preferences. But these are the things that I really was impacted by this information, and I thought, I've got to get out and really, this is information I wish I had when I was 21 and just starting a young family. I wish I would have understood these things. I could have taught all those 11 children the importance of how to eat properly and to make good choices, and they would have then in turn, hopefully, would have passed that kind of background on to my grandchildren. But now, I've got a lot of catch-up work to do. Anyway, that was the essence of our discussion today, and I really, really, really appreciate all of you and how you have helped with this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Yeah.
That was very interesting.
This is Nancy. Regarding the testing of the, to find out if you're gluten-free, I understand they can test through DNA, but even that, it'll show that you have it, but some people are still thinking they are able to eat the gluten and not be affected. But eventually then I guess they do show signs. But that would be a good way to test. I have not done that yet, but I'll let you know if I do. But I have a friend who tested that way, but she's telling the doctor, she said, I can eat it, but I still feel fine. And he said, well, it is in your DNA, and it will cause you problems down the line. So,
And again, you know, Nancy, you can take a certain amount of toxins. Your body is made to handle a certain amount of the salts, you know, and, you know, depending upon what your balance is. But an assault isn't an assault, you know. So she can eat her gluten, you know. Well, she just better not live next to a dye factory that, you know, or, you know, some other kind of pollution.
Mm-hmm. Because then the system gets overloaded.
Right. It's like, you know, you have to pick which poisons you're going to eat.
You know, I think it makes a difference in how much stress you're under. It's sort of just like another toxin is the stress factor.
Yep.
I think that's huge.
Yeah, that's the adrenal glands, and that's a hormone glandular thing, and boy, that can just turn everything around on a dime.
When the girls and I went to Europe for 6 weeks, we were relaxed and had no stress, and I had gluten foods all the time. I had the wraps and crepes and all the different things that they had over there. I didn't feel any effect from it at all. And I didn't, and you know, I never know whether it was because I wasn't under any stress or because it was a different wheat, like Steve was talking about a little bit earlier. Our wheat has been changed and probably treated with all kinds of toxins. It may not even be the gluten that I'm reacting to.
Yeah, I did my master's thesis on life changes, okay, change. Bad or good, and change itself is stressful. It's stressful. All you know, you win $1 million, and you know suddenly you have to reorganize your life because you know you get a different car, you move into a different house, you have all kinds of change, and people respond to changes from the stress of changes. There are people that always respond physically with a psychosomatically, their body, you know. Will evidence dis-ease. Others have actual the onset of mental disorders, okay, from change, good or bad. Your body loves a steady state. That guy with the lactoferrin, he really understands that steady state. I mean, he's dynamite with his explanation of keeping that homeostasis, that steady balance.
Dr. Naidu. Okay. Yeah, thanks,
Naidu.
Everybody.
Where could I find that? Would that be in his
CD or DVD, his presentation about keeping the homeostasis?
I don't know. Ruth, would you know? I just heard him talk at Ruth's house.
Yeah.
It's not a specialty, I don't think, but it's just a knowledge of that's the way it is in nature. And you, probably when you just go and Google homeostasis, I think you'll probably find it. I don't think Dr. Nagy has written about it.
He might have something on his. He might have something on his website. You know, he might.
Roger Drummer has that.
Yeah, I think I've heard Roger talk about that. Maybe that's where Dr. Nagy needs to pick it up.
On his website, he's got it. Got a downloadable one that you can listen to. At least did.
Yeah.
On Roger.
Is that RogerDrummer.com, Steve?
I honestly don't remember. I apologize.
I think it is RogerDrummer.com, so it's on that.
Yeah, I think it's AskRogerDrummer.com.
Yeah,
I was going to go out and talk to some people about the Dr. Nighty's products, so I just wanted to arm myself with that. Thank you.
Hey, bye, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well,
thank you.
I think Monty's going to present tomorrow.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Karen.